little children sitting up front doing a children's story last week in Cohocton. You have to love them. They'll answer anything you ask them. You have no idea what they're going to come out with. And they really surprise you. They really surprise you and get you laughing to the point where I couldn't finish the story. It's a wonderful time with them. Our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 52 through 71. The Jews that disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He was speaking of Judas, son of Iscariot, for he, though one of the 12, was going to betray him. This is the word of the Father. The issues in today's scripture reading apply to all who follow Jesus. The power of the scripture not only applied to those who heard them some 2,000 years ago, but to all who would follow Christ Jesus in every corner of the universe and every generation. It points out that many of the people who came out to see Jesus now turn away from him. Most of them who followed him from the beginning abandon him. The really difficult part of our faith as followers of Christ lies in our coming to grips with the claims about he not only points to God and God's love for us, but that in him and through him, the life that God wants to give us is conveyed to us. There are many seekers after the truth who recognize Jesus as a great teacher, even as a great miracle worker, the healer who gave health to the sick. But they cannot accept his claim and the claim that the apostles have ever made about him, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. As with many of those who had followed Jesus around the land 2,000 years ago, the statement made by Jesus in today's scripture, in which he claims to give life to us through his body and blood, that body and that blood, which we hold up as we gather for communion, is too hard for many to understand. It's too hard for them to accept, too hard for many to believe, too hard for many to commit themselves to. Now, after telling the people that all he has done is but a sign from God, that they should believe in him, now after telling them that the bread and the fish that he gave them to eat only will satisfy them for one day, but that his flesh and blood will satisfy them forever, and that he is the bread of heaven. But the people leave. As they leave him, as they abandon the one who gave them bread to eat, the one who healed the sick and showed them the power of God, they say to one another and to themselves, This teaching of Jesus is difficult. Indeed, it is difficult teaching to accept. This teaching that Jesus is the bread of heaven and that through him comes eternal life for all who believe in him, all who will follow him. But is this the reason that crowds leave him? Or is it as Jesus said in verse 26 after they had followed him across the lake of Capernaum? Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you ate your fill of the loaves. We must remember the world 2,000 years ago was very much like the world today. A lot of us have comforts and conveniences unheard of in times gone by. Our technology and our knowledge of the physical world is far beyond even what the most educated could have grasped some 2,000 years ago. Jesus was but one claimant among many in the world at that time. As it is today, and like today, many of those who respected and followed Jesus about the countryside as he taught and performed miracles were reluctant to ascribe to him the power and the glory that he claimed for himself as the way to God. For some, this was based on the fact that they find a firm commitment to a different understanding of how God works in the world. For others, it was based on the idea that all religions point to the same God, and all, therefore, are equally valid. God is extraordinarily gracious and kind. He created us in his own image and bestowed this world upon us to care for and to cherish and to enjoy. God has bestowed upon us as well a perfect freedom to do as we will, to love as we want to love, to live as we want to live without interference, without restrictions. How God works is absolutely marvelous. God cares for all that he has made and gives everyone every chance they need to get things right. In return, all God hopes is that we, in fact, do come to love him with all our heart and with all our soul, with all our strength and mind, and to love our brothers and sisters as we love ourselves. God loves us. God is committed to us. And that commitment is that love. God doesn't give up on us, not even when we may give up on him. We cannot point to any other way to salvation than Jesus Christ. Same time, we cannot set limits to the saving power of God. This statement is quite in line with the other things that is said in today's gospel reading. When after many of those who had followed Jesus left him, Jesus says to his disciples who have remained with him, You do not want to leave me, do you? And Simon Peter answers him, saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. God has never abandoned his world or his people. God has always made it possible for us to approach Him, to be with Him, to enjoy Him. Indeed, God gives freely and without asking much of us, all of us, only that we accept His gifts and try to follow in the path that He will show us, the way He has revealed to us in the law and the prophets and in His chosen one, the one we worship today, and that we be committed in that. It is not much to ask, is it? Especially it is not much to ask, is it, when you consider what the stakes are, when you consider what it is that God freely offers us, and what it is that the other side, the dark side, offers us, when you consider the question of Peter in today's gospel reading, to whom else can we go? We are a gathering of people who will acknowledge that the saving power of God cannot be limited, have found in Christ that saving power, and have committed ourselves to exploring and living in that power as Christ has both revealed it and embodied it in His own person. We proclaim in our baptism that God loves us and embraces us as part of that family. In our weekly worship, and particularly as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we proclaim that we wish to remain part of God's family, that we need strength, the forgiveness, the love, and the life of God in our lives, and that in the broken body and the poured out blood of Christ Jesus, God grants us those things in a special way. Our baptism, our profession of faith, and our coming together as a worshiping community to receive and share the gifts of God as meditated to us in and through Christ Jesus are the things that defines our relationship with God and with one another. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters in His name. Out of our embracing Christ Jesus and His embrace of us comes the various things that make us as people ones who show forth the love and grace of God for the whole world. Our commitment and our desire to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God find their source in Christ Jesus and empowered by Him. An unknown author wrote these words, "You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk not. You call me the life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not." It is Christ Jesus whom we proclaim, and it is His love and His care and His justice that we embrace, because it is in Jesus Christ that we have found life, and it is through Him and in Him that we know the saving love and the righteous power of God. We are not called to be a people who follow Jesus only when it suits our taste, our understanding, or their desires. We are called to be with the Lord and to serve Him and be blessed by Him in good times and hard times, in the times that are easy and the times that are not. There is no respect for those in the Scripture when things aren't going their way and they pack up and leave, as those in today's Scripture reading. At the Olympic Games in Paris in 1924, the sport of canoe racing was added to the list of international competition. The favorite team in the four-man canoe race was the United States. One member of that team was a young man by the name of Bill Havens. As the time for the Olympics neared, it became clear that Bill's wife would give birth to their first son. And about that time, Bill would be competing at the Olympics. In 1924, there were no jet airliners from Paris to the United States, only one slow, ocean-moving ship. And so Bill found himself in a dilemma. Should he go to Paris and risk not being at his wife's side when the first child was born? Or should he withdraw from the team and remain home? Bill's wife kept insisting that he go to Paris. After all, he had been working towards this for many years. It was the culmination of a lifelong dream of his. Clearly, the decision was not easy for Bill to make. Finally, after much soul-searching, Bill decided to withdraw from the competition and remain behind with his wife so that he could be with her. Bill considered being at her side a higher priority than going to Paris to fulfill a lifelong dream. To make a long story short, the United States four-man team won the gold medal at the Paris Olympics. And Bill's wife was late in giving birth to their first child. She was so late that Bill could have made that trip over, competed, come back, and gone back again. And people said, "What a shame. Bill worked so hard to set up for that event." But Bill said he had no regrets. After all, his commitment to his wife was more important than it was still then. The story of Bill Havens is a story of how one man paid a high price to fulfill a commitment to someone he loved. In a sense, it is a story that illustrates the kind of commitment that God in Christ has for us. And it is certainly a story that illustrates how we should be committed to Him in return. As Peter says to Jesus, when many of those who had followed Jesus fall away from Him because they find His claims to be too hard, "Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Have you left Christ? Are you present only in body to Him, but not in spirit? Are you committed to Him, or do other concerns take up most of your time and energy? Does your TV schedule preclude time for prayer? Does your love for baseball take priority over taking some time for listening to God's Word? Does your ambition prevent you from taking time to care for the family that God has given you to love? Jesus asks us for a commitment. He asks us to be faithful to Him as He is faithful to us in the good times of our lives, as well as the bad. In His asking, Jesus does not compromise. He does not water down His message so that it would be easier for us. He does not go chasing after the people who walk away from Him, as did the crowd at Capernaum. He does not change the truth so that His disciples will not leave Him. What Jesus does is proclaim what He came to proclaim. He comes to offer to us, as God has always offered us, a choice. The choice to live with Him in His care and under His love, or to live without him and without the peace, the joy, and the strength that a relationship with him offers. As with Bill Havens, who made the choice, we have a choice. In 1952, Bill received a telegram from his son in Helsinki, Finland, where he had just won the gold medal for canoe racing. And it read, Dad, I won the race for you. I'm bringing home the gold medal you lost while waiting for me to be born. We have a commitment to one another and our commitment to God. Those who confess that Jesus is the Holy One of God, those who realize, as Peter realized, that there is no one else to whom we can go, and who listens to the words of eternal life that Jesus speaks and walk in his way, will see his glory. They will witness Christ returning in the way he went, on the clouds and in triumph, and they will rejoice. Blessed be God. During this coming week, think about your commitment. Your commitment to God. Think about the commitment that God has for you and what he does for you in the good times and the bad times. Let us be silent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.